Welcome to another episode of Kevo and Heidi's Disney Over Coffee.
I'm Kevo.
And I'm Heidi.
And let's talk about Disney.
Let's do it. Welcome back, everybody. How are you, babe?
Oh, I'm tired. It's been a long day of nothing.
I sure have. It's been pretty busy. We haven't put out an episode in a while.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into the sword and the stone.
The sword and the stone.
We've got another round of which movie is it? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first.
You go first?
I'll go first. This should be easy.
Okay.
It'll be easy.
You say that every time and then I don't get it. All right, go.
I say we take off and nuke the site from orbit. It's the only way to be sure.
Is it Star Wars?
No.
Nope.
No, nothing?
No, I'm sorry. Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Fetch your slippers for you?
Is it Spaceballs? I don't know it. You got one more?
I got one more.
Okay.
Is this going to be a stand-up fight, sir, or another bug hunt?
I give up.
It's aliens.
Oh, man. See, I should have just figured it out with something like that. I think my mind was at, like, you know, what's on Disney Plus. But yes, Aliens counts because it is now owned by Disney. You can see it on Hulu, though. Mm-hmm. Which Hulu will definitely be fully owned by Disney by 2024, I'm pretty sure. All right, my turn. Well, I do like Duckling.
Matilda. Dang
it. Nope.
Okay, one more.
Why on earth would I want your hair?
Tangled.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, see, you got it at the second one. Well, I'm a loser again. That's okay. All right, so Sword in the Stone, 1963. Mm-hmm. Directed by Wolfgang Riethermann, based on the book by T.H. White. And music was written by the Sherman Brothers, who did a lot of the music for the earlier Disney films, which is great. It is set in medieval times, England. A boy named Arthur meets a wizard named Merlin. Merlin trains him at the basics of life and knowledge and all that good stuff, which is really cool. I got a little bit of trivia, not too much. But, many of the backgrounds were reused from Sleeping Beauty. I could kind of tell. Cool. Because of the trees. Mm-hmm. But it's very nice. I like that kind of painted, you know, background stuff. And one of King Arthur's knights was Sir Kay.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sir Kay, that was the dad? Or was that the bully. Adopted brother? Ah,
gotcha. The bully. The very mean young man. But, yeah, I didn't know that. I still haven't read any of the, you know, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. I know of, what's his face? It's one of them starts with a G. Owen Lancelot, I guess.
Galahad,
that's it. I was like, I'm pretty sure I read a story about Galahad at some point. But I knew I couldn't remember it. Because I always think of, whenever I think of anything King Arthur related, I always think of Guinevere. Mm-hmm. Alright, so we start with the book. I totally forgot that we start off with a book opening.
Yeah, we're still in that time frame. Mm-hmm. Where they started off with Once Upon a Time.
But again, it's different than Snow White because we don't have to read it. They read it for us. Mm-hmm. Well, they sing it for us in this one.
Oh, yeah.
The good king had died. But essentially, yeah, the English king has died with no heir. No one can pull the sword from the stone, and the Dark Ages begin, which is like a very specific time in the medieval times. It's very, like, war-ridden, I guess you could say. or just like wild. I don't know. The Dark Ages versus just regular medieval times. Yeah.
No, I think it's just war. I think that's why it was the Dark Ages, not because, you know, there were vampires. There was.
There probably were.
100 years of darkness. Mm-hmm.
That's how they did it in Danny Phantom, though. There was an episode on the Dark Ages, and it was literally, like, dark all the time. No sun. But we see Merlin with Archimedes, who is an owl that can talk. And he's waiting for a boy. And the boy is seen hunting with Kay.
And I mean, it's a Disney movie. It's an early Disney movie. So it didn't really, like, go too deep into it. So I'm curious if they were just implying that Arthur... They definitely said that Arthur was, like, essentially adopted. But they didn't really say...
They didn't say those words.
They didn't necessarily say those words. So I'm curious if
like, I'm looking after him, I think his father says. Like, I'm the one who's in charge of him.
Yeah, so I'm curious if they're implying that, you know, he's the lost heir. Lost heir, or mm-hmm. or if he's just, you know, just a boy. You know? Just your average Joe Smo boy who...
I think the movie is definitely meant to have that allure of, like, it's just an A-boy. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure in the story, in the actual book, he is the lost heir.
Yeah, he's the lost heir.
Because Merlin pretty much, like, foretells of Arthur's birth.
Mm-hmm. From Arthur Pendragon.
So, yep, so we see him hunting. Arthur gets lost, essentially. Kay goes back to the castle, but he ends up finding Merlin's cottage, and they have tea.
Yep, and they have tea, and Merlin doesn't even like, hey, let me be your teacher. Mm-hmm. Let me be your Jedi master, and you be my Padawan. It was just like
he kind of tells him.
Yeah, it's just like this is what's gonna happen, man.
You have no choice in the matter. This is what you're going to do.
And you're a boy, but I'm going to treat you like you're just another wizard. Because Merlin is just plain old... He's got too many high expectations for this young man.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe like the fact that he has seen the past, present, and future kind of thing. Maybe not precisely the way that people see it, but he's already seen what the future holds for people. That he has those high expectations. And he has... such a very big view of Arthur's capabilities, even though he is still just a boy. So he definitely comes off very judgmental. Mm-hmm. We'll get more into that later, but so essentially he tells him, you know, I'm gonna teach you the ropes of life, and Arthur's actually excited. He's looking forward to it. So they are able to pack up all of the things in his cottage, and they head over to his keeper's castle.
Yeah, I mean, we'll just say his adopted
father's castle. And I think at that point it's like, you know, sure, you can stay,
you're gonna
be up in this tower that's pretty much broken,
dilapidated tower. I mean, you know, I don't even know how it's... You can sneeze and it'll fall apart. But it's a
movie. But they definitely show, like, even when it's, like, super rainy, how the thunder makes all the bricks, like, shake.
Yeah.
And it goes back together so it doesn't fall over. But Sir Eleanor. Eleanor or Fellinor? One of them.
It's Fellinor.
Fellinor, something like that. He brings news of a competition in London.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, whoever wins gets to be king.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they're impatient. They're like, ain't no one going to pull this sword from the stone. So we're going to fight.
To the death.
We're going to fight. And so that's when the lord of the manor and Kay, Sir Kay, I don't even think he's a knight yet.
No. Yeah. I think he's just, a lord?
Yeah, he's...
Because they're in a castle, so I assume they have some sort of nobility, right?
Well, yeah. So the father's definitely a lord. But I don't think his brother, his adopted brother, is a knight yet. No. But they start training, and obviously Arthur becomes his squire.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, make sure that you keep to your duties and we'll let you come with us to London. Yeah. With that stipulation. But meanwhile, Merlin, of course, does not care about this competition at all. His job is to train Arthur and educate him. So we start by being a fish.
Was it? I thought they were squirrels first.
No, they're fish first, then squirrels, yeah. Then birds.
So this castle, you know, has a moat around it. And so they turn into fish, and he starts teaching them about, you know, life, pretty much. To and fro, here we go.
That's what makes the world go round.
Left and right, by day and night. That's what makes the world go round. In and out, thin and stout. That's what makes the world go round. For every...
But then, I thought it was really funny that they had this, like, frog following them. Mm-hmm. That was pretty funny. To me, anyway. But there's a big fish. There's a bigger fish.
A nasty northern pike. And he's hungry.
And he can't talk, and he's really mean looking.
And he can't talk, and he looks like he looks disgruntled. It's your typical Disney bad guy. Mm-hmm. Yep. They either look just ugly and mean and silly, or they look ugly and mean and super ugly.
Okay. Yep. I don't think there's a great difference between those two, but okay. But anyway, he helps him escape this fish by kind of teaching him, you know, you have to use your brains more than your strength sometimes. Yep. Especially when you are going to be that smaller person, smaller individual being than maybe other people. So you have to be able to outsmart your enemies just as much as, you know, outstrength them. So, which is a good lesson, mm-hmm. for sure.
They overcome it and they come back out of the moat.
Mm-hmm. But Arthur goes back to his duties, but he's, of course, late. So he gets demerits.
Oh, yeah. He gets triple demerits.
Mm-hmm. So he's stuck doing the dishes. Merlin shows up and uses his magic to clean the dishes. Mm-hmm. So, but there is a moment right before where Arthur says, but I'm supposed to do it. Which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that he takes those demerits, even though anybody else could have been like, you know, well, F you.
Yeah, and then what does Merlin do? He's supposed to be, you know, blah, blah, wise. Blah. It's like,
he essentially tells him, Merlin tells Arthur, you know, as long as it gets done, who cares who does it? That's what he says. Even though Arthur says, like, you know, I'm supposed to do it.
Uh-huh. It's my responsibility.
You know, I got in trouble.
Way to go, Merlin. You're such a great teacher.
But anyway, they get the dishes going, but they end up still kind of automatically going as they leave. And Merlin gets the chance to teach him what it's like to be a squirrel. So they start off by jumping from tree to tree.
Oh, nimbly bimbly.
And then there are some lady squirrels.
Ooh. Yeah. They fall in love. And Arthur's like, no, I'm a boy. But she doesn't get it. Mm-hmm. And like Merlin's all like, this is just the way of life. And then he says
a comment that's still kind of weird to me.
What?
He said, oh, well, you know, she's a lady squirrel. And a redheaded one at that.
Yeah, feisty.
I don't really... what does that have to do with anything? I think that just goes back to the whole stereotyping of, you know, redheaded women. Mm-hmm. Which is not great, because we don't like to stereotype people. But anyway, Merlin gets a lady squirrel of his own.
Ooh, and it's a big mama, too.
But what's funny is that, like, he's still freaking out by it, that he says, I'm not a squirrel, I'm a boy.
Madam!
I'm not a boy, I'm a man. I'm an old man. That is still one of the funniest lines out of the whole movie. It's so funny.
Madam, you've made a mistake. Now, please, you, madam!
You do, you do that.
Look here. I am not a boy. I'm not a squirrel. I'm a boy. No, I'm a stupid old. No! I'm an old man.
But he, of course, has the same issue. He cannot get her to leave him alone. So what does he do? He goes back to human. And scares the crap out of her.
Scares the crap out of Big Mama. She's like, ah!
Yeah, she is not happy. But he does the same thing. He does the same thing to Arthur. And his lady squirrel is very sad. Mm-hmm. Her reaction isn't to be scared. It's quite... at this point, he was being chased by the wolf. And so she helps him. Get away from this wolf. But anyway, so he goes back to human and she gets very, very sad.
Get all heartbroken. And you know what, Merlin? Starts Maybe crying. Use all your magical powers and turn her into a human.
But I do like what he says about, you know, there's something about love being probably the greatest force on Earth. And I really like that because I do think that there's a point of, like, if there were to be magical wizards and things, love would still probably not be one of those things that you could figure out. It was endearing. She's all crying. Oh, no. It was very sad.
It was terrible. Mm-hmm. Horrible. Broke her heart.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, they get back to the castle. One of the maids, I guess, in the castle screams.
Starts freaking out.
So because she sees the dishes.
Witch!
She sees the dishes cleaning themselves. Mm-hmm. And my thought was, like, what does she do?
Yeah, what do you do? You ain't do nothing. Arthur's over there cleaning dishes, sweeping up the castle. Mm-hmm. I bet you he probably cooks, too. She don't do nothing.
Yeah, but anyway.
Hey, none of those people do nothing. It's all Arthur.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. Arthur gets in trouble again. Arthur gets more demerits, and he gets into more trouble. But he does try to defend Merlin when the other men are talking about him. Saying that he's bad and he's evil and that kind of stuff. And he actually defends him, and he gets really upset. And he starts crying.
Yeah.
Defending him. And it's actually really sweet, the fact that he's, you know, telling them, like, just because you don't understand something doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it evil. He gets more demerits, and he accepts them. Because he's a good and respectable young man, I think. He gets into trouble. And Merlin actually does feel bad for a little bit.
Good.
Yeah. But, at this point, Merlin...
They're back up in the tower. And they're talking.
They're back up in the tower. And Merlin actually decides to let Archimedes teach him.
Mm-hmm. Turns him into a boy. Like, he's looking out of the window, and he's looking at the sky, and he's all talking, and then he.
But there's a real funny part here, though. So Archimedes is trying to teach him, and he says, "You have to read all these books." And he says, "But I can't read."
Yeah, how are you gonna be a lord?
It's like, I can't
king,
read.
King of England. Don't know how to read.
So he tries to start with the ABCs. Merlin tries to find one of his little gizmos, which is his little model airplane. He tries to put it out the window to have it, fly. It gets stuck in his beard, and Archimedes gives one of the best laughs I've ever heard. It's like 2 minutes long of him just laughing at him, you know, basically saying, like, men will never fly. What are you talking about? Only we can fly. If they could fly, they would be birds. And they're not.
It would have worked if it weren't for this infernal beard. Fly someday, I tell you. I have been there. I have seen it.
But yes, as you said, you know, Arthur's looking out the window, thinking about flying, thinking about being out in the sky, and Merlin turns him into a bird.
And he goes out there, and him and Archimedes, they go out there and start flying.
Mm-hmm. And he's actually pretty good for a while, until he ends up falling down a chimney of a certain madam's house.
Yeah. Big old, ugly, fluffy, witch.
Witch. Marvelous Madam Mim, who is just the bomb. I love her so much. Her little ditty that she starts singing, you know, like, I could be ugly, I could be beautiful.
Why, boy, I'm the greatest. I'm truly marvelous. With only a touch, I have the power, zim zap rim bim, to wither a flower. I find delight in the gruesome and grim.
Oh, that's terrible.
Thank you, my boy, but that's nothing, nothing for me. Oh, because I'm the magnificent, marvelous Mad Madam Mim. You know what? I can even change size. I can be huge. Oh, fill the whole house. Can be teeny, small as a mouse. Black sorcery is my dish of tea. It comes easy to me, 'cause I'm the magnificent, marvelous Mad Madam Mim. Marvelous boy, marvelous.
She's great, but anyway, knowing that this is Madam Mim's house, Archimedes goes back to warn Merlin. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you know, he can't help Arthur at this point. But Madam Mim gets him and says, you know, since, you know, Merlin must care about you, I'm going to have to destroy you.
Yeah, he's still a bird. And so she likes to play games and stuff.
She loves games.
And she turns into a big old fat ugly kitty.
Not all kitties are ugly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are.
Not this kitty.
That kitty's even uglier.
What? We have a cute little kitty sitting right by us right now at this moment.
Ugly.
He is not ugly. He's a cute little kitty. But, yep, so Mim keeps chasing him, pretending to be all sorts of little, you know. Oh, I think she's just chasing a kitty, right?
I think she's just a kitty until she goes to the wizard's duel.
Oh, yes. So Merlin shows up in, like, a swirl of wind. And then they say, you know, let's have a wizard's duel. You know, she challenges him and he accepts. And so they go outside and it's typical with most duels, which is what, 10 paces.
Yeah.
But of course she being, you know, evil doesn't play fair.
She doesn't play fair. She turns invisible at first. And then she turns into
a lot of things.
She turns into a lot of things.
Yeah. She turns into an elephant. He turns into a mouse. A fox.
And then he turns into a rabbit.
A rabbit. She turns into a gator.
What does he turn into? A goat.
Yeah, a goat.
Mm-hmm. But then
she turns into a rhino.
Yeah. Yeah, but then she turns into a dragon.
A dragon, which was against the rules. They had established that they weren't going to turn into make-believe things. But she specifically said purple dragons, so when she turns into a dragon, technically it's a pink dragon, so yeah. It's like, did I say no pink dragons? Did I? But anyway, he decides to, again, be smarter instead of trying to, you know, outwit her with, you know, strength, and he decides to be a germ.
Mm-hmm. She gets all sick.
And it's a very infectious one. Like, it's a bad one. So she ends up getting chills and sweats, spots. She gets spots all over her, and coughing and sneezing. And so he wins the duel. She ends up having to spend time in her bed. And he tells her that, you know, you'll be fine in a few days. You just gotta, you know, get plenty of rest and plenty of sunshine.
Sunshine! Oh!
I hate sunshine!
Mm-hmm.
Yep, so it's pretty funny the fact that, you know, all of these lessons are being learned at the same time. Like, at the end of the duel, when they do finally go home, or back to the castle, I should say, Arthur says, you know, knowledge is the real power. That's the lesson that I'm trying to learn, is knowledge is it. This is where we get most of our power, is through knowledge. But anyway, back at the castle, Arthur is told that there was an accident with one of the other squires, and he is actually able to go to London to be Kay's squire.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, because he hadn't been a squire. He wasn't actually assigned as a squire yet.
A page?
Yeah, he was just kind of like a, you know, yeah. Yeah, so now he's, yeah, that's right, I remember.
Mm-hmm. Well, because initially he was going to get the opportunity to, but with all the demerits, he didn't get a chance to, because he kept getting into trouble. So he ended up not being a squire until now. And he goes and he tells Merlin, but then Merlin is very upset.
Yeah.
And very visibly upset.
Whatever, dude.
You know, saying like, I can't believe that you accepted to be a squire. Like, I was going to teach you, you know, arithmetic. And the, you know, lessons of Shakespeare.
You're going to expect this man to rule a kingdom and not know how to fight? That's part of it. He's going to have to. He's going to have to fight.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So he needs to know both. He needs to know how to do math and
combat.
Punch people's faces in.
Yeah. But essentially, I think that Merlin didn't like it because he thought it was beneath him. You know, like, it's beneath you to be a squire.
That's, well,
but
you gotta start somewhere.
Right, you do have to start somewhere, and I do think that that goes into a form of, like, him being a wizard. He's probably at the highest point that he'll ever be. Like, I don't know if wizards have hierarchy here.
Of course they do. I bet he was an apprentice at one point.
Okay, yeah. So then he's at the point where he doesn't have to listen to anybody else. He's at the point where he makes the decisions for his own, you know, life.
He needs to learn some humility.
Whereas Arthur doesn't have that. Arthur has to clean in the kitchen. Arthur has to, and he's not ashamed of that. Like, that's the thing, is I think that Arthur's very proud of, hey, I live in this castle, and yeah, maybe I'm not king or anything, but I get a place to stay, I get food, and I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, even if people think it's beneath them to do it. And I think that's the difference, is it seems very elitist of Merlin to say, like, oh, well, I don't know why you're doing this, because peasantry.
Peasantry.
I don't know. But yeah, so Arthur's also very visibly upset at Merlin's reaction, that he's essentially saying, like, I'm proud to be Kay Squire. Like, you might know the future, but you don't know what's going on with me here today. Like, this is my life here. You can do whatever you want, clearly, because you're a wizard. You can go to the future. I don't have that ability. I have to stay here. I have to be in the present, and I have to deal with what's coming my way here and the now, and you can't save me from that. And I'm going to go to London, and I'm going to be the best squire ever. And what are you going to do about it?
You're going to fly out to Bermuda. Bye.
Yes. He gets very upset, and he flies off to Bermuda. In the future, I assume. Versus the present, because there'd be nothing there.
He'll probably be there.
But Archimedes stays behind. And so I guess I'm curious, when he goes to the future and back and things, does he take Archimedes, or does Archimedes just stay?
Archimedes just does his thing.
Okay. Well, I mean, he doesn't need him, right? You know, he just... But essentially, Archimedes goes with Arthur to London. And they are at the inn, getting ready for the tournament. They leave, and they're ready for the tournament to begin, and Kay asks, you know, where's my sword?
Mm-hmm. And Arthur forgot it.
Arthur forgot it at the inn.
Yeah, he forgot it at the inn, so.
So he has to go back. But of course, the inn is closed.
Yeah, everything's closed.
Everything's closed. They're all at the tournament, trying to watch, see what's going on. But they end up seeing this, like, little garden. Mm-hmm. And they find this sword in a stone.
Yeah, of course, he don't know nothing. He's just a young kid from
a... Of course, he can't read.
He can't read nothing. Yeah. Now, I think... Now, Archimedes...
I thought he was of that time, so I guess I just thought that he would have known the story.
But... I feel like I don't think Merlin really talks to Archimedes, because it wasn't even like Archimedes knew what that meant, what that sword... mint. Mm-hmm. And so when he pulled it, they were both like, what the? What the heck is going on?
He touches it a few times. Before he pulls it. And there is this like light coming from above with like sparkles. And Archimedes actually does tell him, like, don't do it. That's a bad sign, right? Like, no, just leave it. Just leave it. We'll just go without a sword. But Arthur's like, no, Kay has to have a sword. I have to come back with a sword because I can't do it. I can't fail him. So he pulls the sword from the stone. They go back to the tournament. Kay says that that's not a sword, of course. And then they end up reading the actual inscription on the sword.
Uh-huh.
And it says something to the effect of, he who so pulleth out the sword from the stone is to be king. Mm-hmm. And so they go back to the stone. They hold the tournament, stop everything. Everybody's like, what just happened? They go back to the stone. They put it back in. Kay tries to pull it out and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. So again, they say, okay, let the boy try. Since he had pulled it before.
Let the boy try.
Since, you know, he had already pulled it, he said. So, he goes to pull the sword. And again, he pulls the sword from the stone.
Mm-hmm.
And they declare him their king.
Mm-hmm. King of me.
Mm-hmm. And we get a transition to the palace that King Arthur is now set to be. And he's got his big old crown on his head and a big old coat and scepter, I guess. I don't know. But he tries to make a run for it because he's really freaking out. He feels like, I don't know what happened. I can't do this. They've obviously made a mistake. He tries to go out, though, through the doors, all of them, and there are people out there, you know, shouting his name. Oh, hail King Arthur.
Whoa, no, that's king.
And Archimedes is still with him, but then all of a sudden we get another kind of like swirlwind of magic, and Merlin comes back. Yeah,
Merlin's back,
and he's in tropical wear.
Yeah, he got a Hawaiian shirt on
and sunglasses and all that jazz. But yeah, he essentially figures out, oh yeah, that's who you're supposed to be. You're King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table. And he says, round table? And he says, oh, you wanted a square one? Or
I would make it an octagon.
I'd probably make it like a triangle or something. But anyway, he tells him, you know, you're actually going to be one of the most, like, legendary kings of, you know, human legends. And we close out the end. That is it. What do we think?
Oh, that's good. I enjoy it.
How should we rate this?
Swords.
Swords? Mm-hmm. I do like the fact, though, that at the end, you know, Merlin does say, like, this was your destiny. Like, don't be afraid of it. This was meant to be, you know, this was meant to happen. Which I appreciate, but I do still think that Merlin could have apologized for what he said. I definitely didn't hear a sorry. Or apology or anything like that. So I would have liked him to apologize for what he said. But so out of 5 swords, how many do we give it?
Like a 3.5, because Merlin, I didn't like his character. I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm. I give it a 3 swords out of 5. Mostly because I think the
3 swords and a dagger.
3 swords on there. The story could have been a little bit more in depth. I would have liked a little bit more interesting factors as far as, like, you know, his situation, maybe his, like, background of, like, how he got there, maybe a flashback of him as a baby, you know, things like that I really appreciate. But this is early Disney. They're still working out the kinks here. But, yeah, it's a good movie. It's definitely one that I like to rewatch. It's so fun. The music is great.
Yeah.
Who was the best and who was the worst?
Arthur was the best, man. You know, he had such integrity.
He was a very good boy.
Hmm?
Archimedes was the best for me. That laugh was just... It made me laugh. Just him laughing made me laugh. It was so funny. Who was the worst?
Merlin.
I was gonna say Kay and Kay's father.
Well, they were bad.
They were the worst, yeah. They're lucky that Arthur didn't turn into, like, a serial killer and killed everybody. It could have gone really dark. Like, revenge! But as far as we know, I mean, I don't know. They were somewhat bad. But still, I don't like them. I'd say I give Merlin a pass only because I do think that even he had his mistakes and he was willing to fix them, I think, for the most part. Hey, he's arrogant. You know, that takes time to fix. But... yeah, so that was it for this episode, guys. Thank you for listening. What are we doing next time?
It's your pick.
It's my turn? Okay, so next time we will do one of my absolute favorite animated movies. There's so many great characters in this one. There's a princess and a shoe made of glass.
Mm, yeah. Bedazzled.
Very shiny. And there's mice. And a certain evil kitty. Mm. So, if you know it, you know it.
If you do, you do.
Mm-hmm. Till next time.
Goodbye.